closes down the food ministry part, and so I didn't have any control over that. But I don't want anybody going in need or being in need here. Please don't do that, because we have plenty of food to get you through to where, you know, you're good. And happy Father's Day to every single dad in the place. We've got these beautiful trucker hats up here. And when y'all leave, I want you to each grab one if you're a dad. And it says, grounded in family, rooted in Christ, man of God. And so, amen. We've got one for each and every single person. I want you guys to turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read. And I have down here a lot of notes that I've made about fathers. And one of the things that I realize now and that I understand now is that holidays are hard for people for different reasons. And I used to not really be sensitive to that, but what I understand now is that there are holidays that hurt more than others. And so for some people, Father's Day, there's pain associated with that day for you. Maybe you've lost a dad. Maybe you are a dad and you didn't get to be the type of dad that you wanted to be. Maybe you have regrets as far as with your children. You know, there's women, I'm sure, that are going to hear this, that you may even be in the room right now and you're having to be dad and mom too. And so there's lots of things that go on with dads. There's fathers that don't get to see their children for one reason or another. There's fathers that have lost their children. There are stepfathers that it don't matter, no matter what they do, that they still can't connect with that stepchild. There's dads in the building, I'm sure, that, you know what, you don't have a great relationship with your children. There's so many things that cause pain for people on Father's Day. And so what I want to focus on is something that brings healing to those hurting spots. And I cannot think of anything better than God the Father. Amen. And so I want to talk this morning about who God the Father is, because there is God our provider. There's Jehovah Jireh. There's God our healer. There's God our deliverer. There's so many names of God, but one of the names of God is God the Father. And God the Father has characteristics that if we really understood him, we would see that God doesn't have a mean bone in his body towards us. He wants the best for us, and he is constantly trying to work out healing into our lives. And so go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we are going to look at verse 18. And he says here, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And you know, there's so many things about this world that make us feel unwanted. There are people where you feel like, you know, my dad never wanted me. There's people that feel like, you know, I'm not really special. I'm rejected everywhere I go. And so God the Father, he says, I'm going to be your father. I'm going to be your dad. And not only am I going to be your dad, but you're going to be my children. And I want to put out there that being a child of God, that is a choice that only you can make. God won't love you if you don't choose him and don't choose to be his child. That won't make him love you any less. But when God says, I'll be your father, and he said, and you'll be my children, there's a role there for the children of God. And what one of those things is you have to say, yeah, I want you to be my dad. I want you to be my father. And so I want to point that out to you. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 27 and verse 10. And one of the things that I see so much in society today, and I think that social media has really played a big part of this, is just the family dynamic disintegrating. There are people that are so estranged from their family members, from their children, from their moms, from their dads. There's people that their children will not even speak to them. There's children where the parents, you know, don't want to have anything to do with them. And, you know, God, he promises in his word, he says, I will never leave you. and I will never forsake you. And in here, in the book of Psalms, verse 27 and 10, it says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. The Lord will receive me. And I want to tell you this morning that God receives you. That He wants you. That He wants to call you His own. He receives you. Every part of you, not just the parts that you're proud of, not just the successes, but He also receives your failures. He also takes those in, because God's not a God that He says, well, I'll take this part, but I don't want this part of them. He wants the whole thing. And He says, you know what? When everybody turns their back on you, when your own family doesn't want to have anything to do with you, I'm here to receive you. I'm here to receive you. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 43. And I was in jail ministry this past Monday. And if somebody said, what is your favorite, absolute favorite set of scripture in the Bible, I would have to say Isaiah chapter 43. The whole thing is just the most beautiful thing that God says about us, how He says He'll be with us, how He says He won't leave us, how He says that it doesn't matter what you go through, I'm going to be with you. It doesn't matter when you go through the hard things, I'm not going to let them overtake you. See, if you're in a battle right now, Isaiah 43 is something that if you'll let it soak into you, it'll go to those places that are troubled. But Isaiah chapter 43, and it says in verse 1, but now this is what the Lord says. And I can say that as believers, we spend too much time focusing on the past or the future. But see, God wants you to live in today. He says today is the day of salvation. And so that's why He says in His word, but now this is what the Lord says. Right now, right here in this moment, God has something that He wants to say to His children. And it's nothing bad. If you don't hear another thing that I say in this message, I want you to walk out of here feeling like, you know what? God loves me. And it don't matter what I've done to be a disappointment to Him. He absolutely loves me. And so it says, but now this is what the Lord said, He who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Fear not. I don't know who's walking in fear in here this morning, but I'm going to ask you to fear not. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I'm asking you to fear not. I don't know what the doctors have said to you in here this morning, but I'm going to ask you to fear not. I don't know what your bank is saying that you owe, but I'm going to ask you to fear not. Why? Because in His Word, He's asking us to not live in fear, because the fear is an enemy to the faith that's living inside of you. God's telling you not to live and not to walk in faith. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. So He not only tells us not to fear, but He gives us a reason why not. And I like that about God, because it has never been enough for somebody just to tell me not to do something. You just ask my parents. The moment they told me not to do something, that was the first thing on my list. I was going to do it. It didn't matter what it was. I was going to do that thing. And that got me in lots of trouble. But see, the Word of God, it says, fear not, but it tells us why. It tells us why. And the answer is, because I have redeemed you. What does redemption mean? I've saved you from a whole lot of yourself. Amen? I have learned that most people, more than they need saved from anything else, they need saved from themselves. Because we get ourselves into some things that if it was not for the grace of God, we'd be done for. But I want to put out there this morning, there is not one thing that you have done that God does not have the ability to forgive. There is not one thing that you have done that God says, oh, well, that's just unacceptable. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. There's not one thing that the blood of Jesus cannot cover. I feel like somebody, they wake up every morning and that thing is waiting on them. A reminder of what they did. You can never get past it. Somebody needs to walk out of here in freedom this morning. God brought you here to tell you, hey, I'm not mad at you. I don't want that thing up in there between us. Fear not because I've redeemed you. Fear not because I've saved you from all types of things that most of them you don't even know what he saved you from. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. See, God loves you so much that he also calls you by name. He calls you out. Years ago, when I was 18 years old and I was going to college, I worked at a bank very briefly. That was not my forte. I like to spend the money, not give it out, you know, to folks. And they said, Kelly, here's what we want you to do. You need to start remembering our customers, and we want you to, when they walk in the door, we want you to look them in the eye, and we want you to call them by their name. And when you're done with their transaction, we want you to say, goodbye, Mr. Smith, have a wonderful day. The key in customer service is learning who people are and calling them by name. And they were right. They were on to something. Because see, even in the Word of God, he says, I've saved you, I've summoned you. How many of you ever got a summons to jury court, jury duty? Boy, I hate to see them coming. I've summoned you. I've called you by name. And one of the most sweetest things that God calls us is his. He says, you are mine. And in a world where we feel like we don't belong anywhere to anybody, that should mean a whole lot. He says, I've called you by name, and you're mine. And you're mine. For every person in here, and there's a pain in your heart for some reason in Father's Day, somebody help him. God wants you to know this morning that you're his. That you're his. That you're his. How many of you, your kids, have ever done something and it embarrassed you and you thought, oh my gosh. You didn't even want to show your face after they had done what they did. I have one experience with Carson and I can't even say it out loud because it is so embarrassing. And he did it not once but twice in the same week in preschool. And I wanted to choke that little kid. It was so atrocious. But at the end of the day, I still called him mine. There was no way I was going to disown him just because of something stupid he did. Amen? God puts a claim on you and he says, those kids are mine. I think that's so important for somebody in here. I just feel that really, really strong is that somebody, you're waking up every morning and you're saying, God, I'm so sorry. And you feel like you can't never get past what you did. God's already past it. He's wanting you to get past it too. He's wanting you to get past it too. God's not mad at you. He wants you to quit running from him. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11. And here's God, and he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, I happen to think that every word in the Bible is true. I happen to believe every word of it. The word also says you have not because you ask not. When you're in a place in your life and you're saying, you know, God, I just don't know why this ain't happening. I don't know what the holdup is. You need to write this down. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read it again. Ask and it will be given to you. seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Verse 9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? How many of you, you love your children in here? I know you do. I know they're pains in the butts, but you love them. James, you're a sweetie. You've always been sweet. You know, I don't know about y'all, but one of the highlights of my life is doing and giving to my children. Does anybody else, you love your kids, and when you get to give to them and do for them, there's something in that that just fills up every part of you. And let me tell you something. If that's how you are, imagine how God feels about his kids. And he says it right here in the Word. He says, which of you, if you had a son and he asked you for bread, would give him a stone? That's why it's so important to ask God. Because, see, if you're asking for something from God and it lines up with his Word, now you can't ask him to rob the bank and let you get away with it. Now, he's not going to do that for you. But if you can ask him according to his will, I believe that you'll receive that. And the Word of God says that you will. Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, when I was reading this last night, and we got to the part where it says, if you then, though you are evil, and I was thinking, well, what's up with that? Is he calling us evil, or what's going on? That actually means sinful by nature. So what the Word is saying, if you who are carnal-minded, just flesh and blood people, sinful by nature, if you know how to do good for your children, how much more does God know how to do? How much more will God in heaven do for his children? And it says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I want to tell you in here this morning that God always wants to do more. God always wants to do more. You can think of something in your mind and you can think, oh, I'd love to do this for you, Lord. And God will meet that, but he'll take it so much further. Last night, I was studying about this message, and I started to think of all the things in my childhood that I love about my dad. And I started getting teary-eyed because I can't think about dad too much where it won't just soak up every part of who I am. And I love him very much. Now, him and I, let me just tell you, don't ever look at us and think that the ministry is perfect, because we absolutely are not. And that's an unhealthy thing for y'all to think about us, because we are not perfect, are we?
No.
We're probably the most messed up one in the bunch. And that's why God called us, because we'd be some heck of some sinners. So he's like, I better get them on the right track real quick. But Dad and I, as much as we love each other, we've had some knockdown dragouts. I ain't never stopped loving him.
Amen.
He ain't never stopped loving for me.
Nope.
There isn't too much I wouldn't do for him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, God loves you in here today. God loves you so much. I remember when I was 7 years old, on my seventh birthday, I woke up, and for the first time, I began to hear the voice of God. I'd never heard that before, but on my seventh birthday, I woke up before anybody else still, and for the first time, I began to hear God. Don't tell me that it's a waste of your time to bring your children to church. Don't sit and ask God to give you those children and then not do what God told you to do with them, because you'll pay for that. It won't be pleasant. And I kid you not, at 7 years old, I woke up and that morning I began to, for the first time, hear God's voice. What did he say to me? He began to tell me that I needed to be saved. He began to tell me that I needed to be saved. I began to think of all the little rotten things I had done as a seven-year-old. And I got on my knees and I started asking God to forgive me for all the little sins that I had done. And in my mind at that time, they were big little sins, you know, in my little seven-year-old head. And I remember my dad walking down the hallway. We had the ugliest brown sofa that you could ever think of. We had that thing and it was awful. But I was down there and I was praying. And he said, Kelly, what are you doing? And I said, I'm praying about my sin. And he said, Kelly, do you feel something in there that's knocking at your heart's door? Do you feel that? And I said, I feel that. He said, that's God wanting to come in. And I said that prayer, Jill, and you know what? There's been a lot of water under the bridge between God and me. And what I can tell you is that God don't just stop loving you when you screw up. God don't stop loving you when you do a number 10. God don't stop loving you when you just mess up and you've embarrassed everything about everything in your whole life. God don't stop loving you then. So if we, knowing how we feel about our own children, and we love our kids and we do anything for them, what do you think God feels about you? I'm not into churches that want to sit there and beat people over the head and they come out beaten down. I'm not into that. If you ain't walking out of here feeling like God loves you and he's going to turn your life around and he's going to make it better, then I ain't done my job very good. But God loves you here this morning. Go with me now to Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 20. And this is the account of the prodigal son. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I think we get frustrated with people and we just rather throw them away than mess with them. Because maybe they've done something a million times and you're sick of it. I don't know about you, but I've had sin in my life at times that I had a really hard time shaking off. I know there's been times where I would get on my knees and I would tell God, I'm going to stop doing that. And before I would know it, I'd be doing it again. Why do you think Paul said, why do I keep doing the thing I don't want to do? And then the very thing that I know is the right thing to do, I can't do it. See, what the devil likes to do with people is he likes to use our sin to get us in a tug of war with our own self. And there's people, see, that God wants to bring up in here and love on, but because of the sin in their life and they feel so bad about it, they feel unworthy to even come in God's house and sit down. How many of you have ever felt like, I shouldn't even go? Whoa. I've had weeks where I felt I shouldn't go and I darn sure shouldn't preach.
Glory to God. That's the truth. Preaching
past the real deal. See, the devil talk you into doing something and you'll do it. And then right there immediately is the condemnation about that. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. This is the prodigal son. I'm going to actually start at 17. And it says, when he came to his senses, when he came to his senses, here's what I can tell you about sin, is it is the most intoxicating thing. And every time we sin, it's like we've got a bottle of whiskey and we're taking sips of it. And at some point, you just get intoxicated with that sin to where you can't even think clear. And that's what happened with him. But he said, the word says, when he came to his senses. See, maybe there's somebody in your life that you love and you just gotten done irritated with them and you don't want to mess with them no more. Stop being judgmental. Remember back to the time that you had a hard time shaking something yourself and say, Lord, please let that person come to their senses. Let them come back to their self. I was talking to my husband last night and I was really troubled about a person. And here's what I've learned. And my dad taught me this. People are either going through something, and they're just going through something, or they're becoming something. And it is very important for a pastor to understand the difference. And he said, well, what are you going to do about that? And I said, I'm going to give it a little bit more time because I need to see. Are they going through something or are they becoming something? Because just depending on what's going on, I'll know what to do as the pastor. But you know, there's times where we jump the gun when some things needed a little bit more time. That's really not even a part of the message. I don't know why I said that. It was for somebody. Whoever it's for, just take it. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. This reminds me of the verse that says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. This kid did his best to try to depart from it. But at the end of it all, when he came back to his senses, when he came back to his raising, when he came back to what he knew in his heart was right, he had a conversation with himself. And he said, how many of my father's men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Some people are in here and you're saying, I don't know what to do about that distance in between God and I. Let me tell you something. God don't want the distance there. He wants you. Devil make people feel so bad about things. What does God really want? He just wants you to come back to him. How? Repentant. What is the definition of repentance? Changed behavior. Sometimes I'll tell Carson, say you're sorry. Sorry. No, Carson, I actually want you to mean it. And what I've learned is that I can't make him truly be repentant. Because, see, that's something that God works out in a person. I can make his life miserable, but I can't make that soul and that heart of hearts really, truly be sorry for what he did that was wrong. What does God really want from people? Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry. And I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back. I just feel like somebody, this really was not how the message was going to be, but we're going to go with it. You're asking, what God, what do you want from me? God just wants you to come back. God just wants you to come back. Just come back. And all that stuff, all that gunk that stuck up inside of you, get you a big old spoon, per se, and start scooping that out and just lay it right out before God. Don't defend that stuff. Don't say, I did it, but this, that. No. Just put it out there. What will God do? He'll begin to wash it away. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. I want to tell you that there's times where we get off. We maybe zigged when we should have zagged. And I want to tell you that God saw you on that way back. He sees right where you're at. You know, there's times, and I don't know if anybody else does this to their grown parents. I just know what I do. How many of you have got a grown kid that you know very, very well? You've raised them all your life, and you know them. How many of you know your kids so well that when they answer the phone, if there is something wrong with your kid, you will know it instantaneously? Well, okay. How many of you are a grown kid, and there's times you just ain't going to call your mom and daddy because there's something wrong with you, and you know that they're going to know it the second that you get on the phone with them? I know Dad and I have had conversations a lot, and he would say, I just wish that we talked more. He knows me so well, Angel. And I know him so well that there's times I'm just not going to talk to him because I don't want him worrying about what's going on with me, because I know he'd try to fix whatever it was. See, God knows you inside and out. And he loves you so much that even when you get off track, he's out there and he sees you, and he sees you when you're on your way back to him. Now, a lot of people want to describe God as, well, God's going to make you suffer for that time that you left him. Well, no, he ain't. Now, you may have some consequences that go on, but they really ain't God's fault. I mean, if you know you, if you eat 10 donuts, you may gain 5 pounds. Now, that is not God's fault. I love people, they're going to eat a whole cake and they're going to be like, God, take all the calories up out of this cake. Now, don't even waste your breath on those type of prayers, because they ain't going nowhere. And the only thing that's going somewhere is that cake to your backside, okay? Amen. But it says, while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And I want to tell you this morning, if God is anything, he's full of compassion towards you. It don't matter what your earthly father did. If you're a dad in here and you're going, I just have regrets when it comes to my kids. Look here, let that regret go, because it ain't going to help you do any better with them. let the regret go. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. It's amazing how our sin will make us feel so dirty and so unworthy. Well, let me tell you something. That doesn't stop God. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring the best of what we got and put it on my son. See, when the world would throw you away because of what you did or what you went through, God's saying, I'm just glad you're back. Get the best robe that we've got. Put it on my kid. You know, there's people, they feel like they can't do what they were called to do because they messed up. God says, you know what? The mess up, I already calculated that in. I had already calculated that in. We went to Branson a couple weeks ago. That was a real experience with seven kids. And, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I know my kid really well. And one of them, every time we get started on something, I don't care what we're doing, whether it's fishing or anything, when we get to going somewhere, Johnny, Coco, this is what he's going to do to me every time. Mama, I got to go to the bathroom. Not just a little bit. Bad. And then he'll go, he's so sweet. He'll whisper, it's a number two. What, you got to go number two? I done told you to go at the house 37 times. So when I take that kid somewhere, I factor in all his shenanigans when it comes to the bathroom. So when we went to Branson, I said, okay, Coco, you excited about going to Branson, honey bunny? Oh, yeah, Mama, I'm excited. Do you want a Hardee's biscuit? Yes, Mama, I do. Okay, Mama gonna get you one, you cute little thing. Now, Coco, we at Aunt Casey's house now. This is the last stop. Do you got to go to the bathroom? No, Mama. We set it out of Casey's house. Mama, I think I got to go to the bathroom. I said, Colton, I knew you would have to. Just go to the bathroom. You know what? Sometimes we need to just realize that God done knew what was going to go on with us. He already factored that in. He knows us so well. I'm not saying try to screw up and God will deal with it in the end. But you know what? He knows. He's going to make a way for you. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. We're going to read this one out of the King James Version. And here's a promise from God. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I'm going to be merciful to them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You know, the thing about God is when he forgives you, he throws that thing in what the Word of God calls the sea of forgetfulness. He casts that As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed from us our transgressions. And when we suffer from remembering and recalling so much of what we've done that we're ashamed of, you need to put your hand over your mind and you need to pray, God, take this from my memory. There's too many people, and every day you're thinking about what you did. Maybe it's been years. It's time you just stop recalling that and go on. Last place for me this morning, 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 1. Dad knows me so well, he's telling me the verse. And he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Now, and boys in the sound booth, is there you go. Now, one of the things that God has done with me over the past 5 years is he's taken me on a journey to where I understand the word a whole lot better now. And I hang on every single comma. I hang on every single word. I hang on every part of the grammar. And it says here, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Explanation point. God's excited that he calls you his child. He's not living in regret when it comes to you. He's excited that you're his kid. And it says, and that is what we are. Explanation point. God wants you to get excited about being his kid. If there's gunk that you just can't let it go, God's already let that go. And he wants you to get excited about being his child. Because he's excited about being your dad. Maybe you didn't have a good experience. Maybe you didn't have an example. He is your dad. He's really all that you need. Get excited about God the Father. Get excited about being his child. Amen. I'm going to close with this story. You know, Dad, there are moments with your children that they will remember for the rest of their life. Every kid has them. I have my favorite ones of my dad, and I haven't stopped having them. You never stop being a parent. I don't care if they're 50 years old. My husband is 61. His parents are in their 80s. They still worry about him. If they think he's outside mowing the grass, his dad will be calling me, now you make sure you get him some water. Is Junior okay? That's what they call him. Because everybody in their family is Frank. There are lots of Franks in that family. Good Catholic sweet Franks. A few years ago, he is the best. He's the absolute best. A few years ago, around Christmas time, my dad had a bilateral brain bleed. And we were in a period of time where we were upset with each other. Why do I preach about this? Because you need to learn to just get over it. When it involves your family, get over it and keep loving them. Because they'd be gone one moment and you didn't expect it. Then you're going to regret it. Okay? We was in a time period where we was irritated with each other. I didn't stop loving him. I was worried about him. But I knew that God had him more than I even did. When he was a baby, his mama tried to go on an airplane 2 or 3 times, and them airplanes crashed, and his mama said, I am not going on that. See, I knew that God had him. I fulfilled every obligation that I had as a pastor. And then I felt the release to go up there and see him after I had done everything that I needed to do. See, God still came first in my life, even when it was up against my own family. And I remember going in his room in ICU and sitting across his bed, and we both just cried together. And he looked at me and he said, "Kelly, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for anything that I've ever done as your dad that wasn't right." I said, "Dad, I'm sorry too, because I know I wasn't right." He said, "What do you want from me as your dad? If you'll just tell me, I'm going to do my best to do what you've asked me to do, but I need to know what it is." I said, "Dad, for the rest of your life." See, I didn't say for the rest of my life, because I want to live longer than him. I don't want him to have to bury me. I said, "Daddy, for the rest of your life, what I want you to do, what I'm asking you to do, is I'm asking you to just listen to me. I'm asking you to just listen." And there's been so many times that I've just went to God. And God the Father says, "Kelly, just talk to me, because I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you, Kelly. I want to encourage you this morning. God loves you so, so much. God wants you to talk to him because he's listening to you. He's listening to what you have to say. It's not just enough to have it in your heart. God wants you to begin to speak it out." Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. I want you to get to the restaurants before any of the other churches. I'm competitive. Don't forget to get your hat. Dad, why don't you close us up?
Well, I agree with everything that was said. That's all I can say. That's the way life really is. Being a dad is one of the top things in my life. I didn't think I'd like it so much. Really, I didn't. But I love it. We had Casey, and I did that. Well, I said, I promised Casey I was going to let her, you know, I promised Mom that we were going to have she could have a baby. So, but when they put that baby, Casey, in my arms, that changed my life. Literally changed my life. I hope every dad in here is having that kind of an experience. Isn't it the greatest thing to just be a dad? And I think one of the great truths that was just spoken here is that God is not disappointed in anybody. You know, I raise hounds. You get them when they're little pups. And you know they're going to mess up. You just know it. When you're born again, you're going to mess up. And that's all taken into consideration. I try to teach them dogs, when I turn them loose, don't go tree the neighbor's cat. Get up in the back of that truck. And it takes a while to teach them. And don't anybody leave here feeling bad today. Because that's just not the kind of church we are. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God loves every one of you. And the thing is, we got to learn how to receive that love. And we need to learn how to give that love to the people that we don't like the most. And that's what we can do. But having said that, I pray you have the best Father's Day. And the parents, the children, and everybody together, we have the best Father's Day. Amen? Amen. God bless you.